a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto the Most High. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Our hymn of praise is number 469. As we bow before thee in this thy sanctuary, we've come to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for all thy goodness to us and to all the children of men. We've come to hear thy messenger to us this day. And we ask that thou wilt speak to us through his mind and heart, that we may be more keenly aware of the privilege and responsibility that is ours to share the Christ of Christmas with all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On this missionary day, we are privileged to welcome again to this campus a real missionary and his good wife, for it is a joy to have Dr. and Mrs. David Bean here on this campus again, where he served 1 year during his furlough as a visiting professor. Dr. Bean is of missionary heritage. He was fortunate to have missionary parents. Father and mother served for some 40 years as missionaries in Brazil. David came to this country, studied at Georgetown College, got his doctorate at Southern Seminary, and he and Mrs. Bean for some 26 years has served now as our missionaries in Brazil. He is at present the president of the Baptist Theological Seminary of North Brazil in Recife. Ms. Adams and I had the privilege of being guests in their home and of lecturing at that seminary for a week some years ago. We're looking forward to going again this coming May. So today it's my privilege to be host to Dr. Bean, and then next May you'll be my host. I don't want to bore you with a long introduction, but I do want to share with you one insight that came during that visit to Brazil. It was just after the revolution. The revolution in Brazil had been planned by the communists. They expected to take over the country, and they nearly did. But fortunately, Christian and democratic forces rallied, and the revolution planned by the communists was a failure. When we were in Recife, someone else, not David Mean, showed us the seminary athletic field and said this had been chosen by the communists as the execution ground, where immediately after what they anticipated would be a successful revolution, Christian and political leaders would be put to death so that they might more easily gain control of the community. And high on the list of those to be executed on his own athletic ground was David Mee. Speak something of the place he has won for himself and for Christ and for the Christian cause in Recife and in Brazil. It is a high privilege today to welcome on your behalf Dr. and Mrs. David Mean, true missionaries of Jesus Christ. After we've had some special music, God will speak to us through David means. First of all, may we thank the opportunity of being back at Southeastern Campus among friends, especially on this particular day, which is the Missionary Day. Approximately 6 years ago, a missionary in Brazil wrote a letter which was published in English and in Portuguese and was widely distributed among especially his friends and the leadership of Baptist work in Brazil. In that letter, he was telling Brazilian Baptists and Southern Baptists that he was leaving the mission field because he thought that the day had come when missionaries were not needed any longer among Brazilian Baptists. It's been about 6 years, and that missionary is back in Brazil now.
working as a missionary. He resigned the Foreign Mission Board. He came to the United States. But this morning I would like to share with you some exciting things that are happening in Brazil in trying to show you that the day of missionaries and mission work in Brazil is not done. The first exciting thing that I would like to share with you is the interest of the government of Brazil in the development of the country. I don't know what you have read about Brazil, what you have heard about Brazil in recent years. I don't know how far your admiration for Bishop Elder Câmara goes, and he's the man that speaks against his own country when he's away from Brazil. But we have at present a very stable, very honest, a very sincere, a very aggressive government in Brazil. And the interest of this government to the nation is shown in several areas. First of all, in opening up the Amazonic Basin. The Amazon has always been known to the world as the green hell. Brazilians themselves did not know, and probably the majority still do not know what they possess. But the present government decided that it was time to open up the Amazon for the Brazilians and for the world. And the first thing that the government has done is open a trans-Amazonic highway. I'm sure that highways don't mean much to you since you have your excellent interstates and free highways, free states. But in Brazil, a highway like this is history. It goes from the Atlantic coast, the city of Recife where we live, all the way across northeast Brazil, across the Amazon basin into Peru. Approximately 3,000 miles of highway. The government is determined to present this highway to the nation, completed by the time it leaves office in 1974. Something never heard of in Brazilian history. Now, with the opening of this trans-Amazonic highway, there comes new possibilities for mission work, because the government is not only opening the highway, but is determined within these next 4 years to establish 20 new cities. The government is inviting Brazilian people to leave the places where they're living and come to live in the Amazon Valley along the highway. The government has taken from its owners, by legal means, of course, 100 miles on each side of the highway, all the way across that northern section of Brazil. 20 new cities, and the way the population explosion is evident in Brazil, these cities will be large cities within a few years. Now, it's interesting to note that this highway is going through exactly the towns already established where the Home Mission Board of the Brazilian Baptist Convention for several years has had established work. So there is already a witness of the gospel in some places along this historic highway. But the government is not only interested in opening the highway from the Atlantic to the Andes, but is opening another new highway from the north to the south. If you believe in symbolisms or you like symbolisms, to the Brazilian Baptists and other Christians, that's the symbolism of the cross. And they're taking that very seriously. Evangelicals are asking their own people to leave the places where they live and establish themselves along this highway, because we believe that this is an opening given to Brazilian evangelicals by God. Another thing that the government is doing is trying to do away with illiteracy. Every time you have heard a missionary from Brazil speak, you have probably heard him give statistics on the illiteracy of Brazil. 70 to 60%, or 60 to 70% of illiterate people, that is, that cannot read or write. When they sign a document, they sign it with the fingerprint. They don't even know how to sign their own names. This present government has decided that within the 4 years of its government, it's going to teach 15 million adults how to read and how to write. President Medici, who is the present president, about a month ago went into one of the cities of the state of São Paulo and gave the diploma, the certificate, to the individual who was the 1 millionth individual adult within the few months of the program to learn how to read and how to write. Now, we believe that this is an opening which God is giving us, because illiterate people cannot read the Bible, cannot understand the Bible. They can come to church and listen to sermons, but they don't quite understand exactly what it's all about. And so we believe that with this movement, God is opening a new door in Brazil so that people might come to a more perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ and of His will and of His gospel. Now, to me, there is another exciting happening in Brazil. We've heard much about the dialogue between Protestants and Catholics throughout the world. Some of us doubted for some time that there would ever be a chance of dialogue in such a Catholic country as Brazil. But the door is open for dialogue, and I'm going to give certain examples of what is happening. We have an accrediting association for the seminaries in Brazil, for the evangelical associations. And every time this accrediting association meets, there are representatives from Roman Catholic seminaries present. They're not yet full members, but they participate in the discussions. They participate in the discussions of the trends in theological education in Brazil. There's one Bible now for Protestants and Catholics. How did this happen? The Bible Society, Brazilian Bible Society, which is owned and operated by Brazilian Protestants, it was a uniting of the American Bible Society and the British Bible Society in Brazil, put out a new edition, a translation of the Bible. The Roman Catholics decided that they would like to put out a new translation. But they thought the time had come for a united translation between Protestants and Catholics, something that some of our Protestant people became horrified at. We publish a Bible with the Roman Catholics? The Roman Catholic bishops took the translation that the Protestants had prepared in Brazil and started studying that translation. First, they came up with the idea that a bipartisan committee would prepare a new translation. But then after studying this particular translation, the bishops of Brazil came to the conclusion that they could do no better. And so they have taken the Protestant translation, which is printed by the Brazilian Bible Society, the Protestant organization, and have given their imprimatur. And now you have a Protestant New Testament, a Protestant Bible, with the bishop's imprimatur, which is being accepted all over Brazil. Now, this has opened a new door, because, as you know, in Brazil, in Roman Catholic mission fields, for many, many years, it was almost prohibited for the people in general, to have the Bible or to read the Bible, unless it was a Roman Catholic Bible. And it was such an expensive edition that the people could not possess it. Now, this has brought about the starting of Bible study groups in the Roman Catholic Church. And men and women are coming together in groups, not in the churches, but in the homes, to study the Bible. One of the professors of our seminary in Recife, Dr. Manfred Grellert, he is from German descent, but he is Brazilian. He graduated 2 years ago with his doctorate from the Southern Seminary in Louisville, was asked last year to come to the Roman Catholic Seminary in Recife and teach Bible to the Roman seminarians. Now, to me, that's exciting. To me, that's history. In a Roman Catholic country, in a Roman Catholic country where Baptists have missionaries, for a Baptist theological seminary professor to be invited by a Roman Catholic seminary to teach Bible is something that I'm sure that the missionaries of past generations who have gone and who used to preach against Roman Catholics the way missionaries used to in past generations have turned over in their graves several times. I'm sure certain people will say, what is going to become of mission work in Brazil if this continues? There's a passage in Scripture that says, my Father is still working. And I believe that this is God working, opening new doors, making it exciting to work in Brazil as a missionary. I believe also that another exciting thing that is happening in mission work in Brazil, especially among Baptists, is the maturing of the Baptist denomination. Now, there are certain expressions of this maturity which I would mention. One of the expressions is the national leadership. For several years now, Brazilians have sent representatives to the Baptist World Alliance. Brazilian Baptists, they're not missionaries, they're Brazilian nationals, who are sent by their own people as representatives to sit in the various committees of the Baptist World Alliance. The executive secretary of the Brazilian Baptist Convention today is not a missionary, he's a Brazilian. The secular schools are all directed by Brazilians. I was presented as president of the North Brazil Baptist Theological Seminary. I realized that my days in that position accounted. I don't know how many. Could be 1 year, could be 10 years. But Baptists have become mature enough in Brazil where all the positions of leadership should be in the hands of Brazilian Baptists. We have gotten away from that pioneer stage of missionary work. Now the missionary works along with or works under Brazilian Baptists. And I think this is exciting because this shows maturity in the denomination. Also, this maturity is expressed in the desire of Brazilians in assuming greater financial responsibility. Brazil is considered one of the great mission fields of Southern Baptists. It has been. It continues to be. But Brazilians themselves are coming to the place of making the following statement. Southern Baptists have missionaries in 76 different countries. We have received financial aid from Southern Baptists for almost 80 years. It's time we assume responsibility ourselves and let Southern Baptists use their money in other places of the world. Now, they're not saying that they don't want missionaries. Along with the statement they always add, but we want missionaries. And I think it's exciting to hear Brazilians say, money and missionaries don't have to come together. We can have missionaries without having the money. Now, having made this statement, let me hurry on and say, it hasn't come yet to the place where Southern Baptists will not need to undergird financially Brazilian Baptists. But the fact that Brazilian Baptists are coming to the place of saying, we don't need as much undergirding. Of course, when Nixon made his famous economic debut several months ago, Brazilian Baptists started then saying even a little louder, the days are even shorter than we thought, and we better take on more responsibility than we have been taking on. And they're trying hard. Of course, the inflation has been terrific in Brazil. And every time we thought that by saying no more dollars, only the dollars that we received last year, then the Brazilian currency would go way up and that would mean nothing. But if you will give time to Brazilian Baptists, I believe that within the next few years, they will start assuming larger and larger financial responsibility and will probably, one day we hope, help other Christian people throughout the world in their financial needs. Another expression of this denominational maturity has been the attempt of Brazilian Baptists to formulate its own philosophy of missions. I'm sure that you won't feel hurt if I say that Brazilian Baptists have come to the place of saying, we're tired of transplanting. We're not Southern Baptists. We are Brazilian Baptists. And much that has been transplanted from a Southern Baptist background does not quite fit in to our Brazilian life. And so it's time we sit down and we ourselves, with the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit, find the way that we should go. And they're trying to find their own philosophy of missions. Last June, in one of the cities of South Brazil, a group of 60 leaders of Brazilian Baptists, most of them Brazilian Baptists themselves, executives of several boards of several institutions, came together to study frankly their own philosophy. And to me, this is healthy. This speaks loud of their maturity. They're saying, we are growing and we need to make our own decisions and we need to know which way we're going. But with the maturity, there is what one Brazilian leader has called a denominational vanity. That is, this denominational vanity is seen in the desire of having more than they're capable of having. And I will give two examples. Brazilian Baptists have four different boards that are doing almost identical the same work. Identically the same work. They have a home mission board, they have a foreign mission board, they have a TV radio board, and they have an evangelism board, or board of evangelism. Four boards doing practically the same job. Fortunately, some Brazilian leaders have come to the place of saying, now this is nothing but denominational vanity. We can't afford four boards. Let's just then reduce these to one. And there's a committee made up of Brazilian Baptists, nominated by the Brazilian Baptist Convention, to work out a way of bringing these four boards into one board. Brazilian Baptists do have missionaries in Mozambique, in Portugal, in Paraguay, in Bolivia. They have approximately 300 missionaries in the interior of Brazil, their home mission board. They're trying to do something with radio and television. And their board of evangelism has done quite a few things. But it's nothing but denominational vanity, which is possibly an expression of adolescence rather than maturity, to think that they can afford four boards. Another expression of this denominational vanity is that we have in Brazil 33 Baptist theological institutions. Now, officially, we have only three. The Baptist Theological Seminary in Belém, in the Amazon, the Baptist Theological Seminary in Rio, and the Baptist Theological Seminary in Recife. These are the three official institutions belonging to Brazilian Baptist Convention. But you know, Baptists are individualists. And if a man does not get invited to teach in a theological seminary and he thinks that God has called him to teach, then he starts his own theological institution. And as a result, we have 33 institutions in Brazil. Now, this is nothing but denominational vanity. Nothing but expression of a denominational adolescence. The Brazilian Baptist Convention is trying to solve this problem by having the three major institutions start an accrediting association of Baptist institutions. We have the accrediting association, the interdenominational one, but the denomination thinks it needs its own accrediting association to see if it can solve this problem. The denomination cannot support its three seminaries. How do they think they can support 33 institutions? As I say, with the maturity, there is this expression still of adolescency, which is shown in this denominational vanity. But fortunately, there is a decisive change. But to me, the most exciting part of mission work in Brazil, as it is over the world, is the evidence of Christian maturity as seen in the lives of individual Christians. I'm sure that you as pastors have the joy of following the growth of a child into adolescent age, into maturity in its life. This brings you joy as you see the Christian growth in this life. This also brings joy to a missionary as he works in a mission field and sees the growth, Christian growth, in the life of the nationals. I could stand here this morning and name you several hundred Brazilians who have demonstrated, have revealed, have shown, expressed this Christian maturity, but I would like to give you only one example. A young man who is today professor at the seminary in Recife, by the name of Merval Rosa. When he accepted the gospel, he was a bricklayer, not a first-rate bricklayer, up in one of the states of northeast Brazil. He barely knew how to sign his own name. But after he joined the church, he became interested in getting a better education. He worked during the daytime. He went to high school at night. Then he came to the city of Recife, brought by one of the missionaries, and he entered the school there in Recife. And he felt a call to the ministry. He came to the seminary. He finished the seminary in Recife. He pastored several Baptist churches in and around the city of Recife. He was called in to help as an assistant to one of the professors at the seminary. He showed capacity, revealed the fact that he had capacity to teach. He was sent to the United States. He graduated with his master's degree from Southern Seminary and from the University of Louisville. He has gone back to teach psychology, pastoral psychology in the seminary. And he has become so efficient in the field of psychology that he is now also professor in one of the four universities in the city of Recife. As we watch this man, this brings joy to the missionary heart, because you see a man that through the gospel in his life has grown into maturity and is not only accepted in the circles of his own denomination, but is also accepted in other circles in the city of Recife. There's no more place for missionaries in Brazil? Sure there is. There is, because my father is still working. Is your father working? My father is still working. And I believe that the opening of the great highway is the way God is working in Brazil. I believe that the way the government is trying to do away with illiteracy in Brazil is the way God is working in Brazil. I believe that the way the dialogue is processing between Protestants, evangelicals, and Roman Catholics is God working in Brazil. I believe that the maturing of the denomination is God working in Brazil. I believe also that the growth in Christian maturity of individuals, Brazilian individuals, is God working in Brazil. And this morning, I confess that I'm glad to be a part of this exciting enterprise, which is telling people in Brazil about Jesus Christ. And my friends, there's also a place for you.
Thank you, Dr. Mean. You have informed and inspired and challenged us about our world mission. We are fortunate to have on our campus right now Dr. Ms. Mean, John and Mary Evelyn Divers, Dr. Ms. Patterson, others who represent our world mission. Shall we commit ourselves anew to give of ourselves, of our substance, to serve in this world enterprise, to take our Savior to the world, bring the world to our Savior? Shall we pray? We do thank thee, O God, for this message and for the messenger. Bless us each, O God, as we seek to find our rightful place and to bear a worthy part in taking Christ to the world, in winning the world to Christ. Bless, we pray, these dear friends and others who to the ends of the earth bear their witness for us and for thee. Now grant us each as we have need, thy grace, thy guidance, thy peace and joy through Jesus Christ, our living Lord.